Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
stepping into tomorrow. Welcome to another edition of Progressive News Weekly. We have an evening broadcast that's, we refer to it as a late night edition from time to time. We are in the holidays, folks. So much going on. Folks are getting in the spirit of the holidays. And, you know, the question is, what does that mean? Just what does that mean? What is the spirit of the holiday, right? Well, it's from Daryl Clark's perspective. Did I mention that my name is Daryl Clark and you're at the right place at the right time? Well, apparently I'm in the spirit, right? What a day. What a day. If it weren't for the spirit, I try to carry the spirit of the holidays with me throughout the year. And believe you me, it helps. It does help. Uh-oh. Come on now. Come on. You know, this is a live. Must be a residual of a full moon. I'm traveling, so bear with me. When I say residual of a full moon, I just had a, you know, we don't like to use names, but the person was acting somewhat idiotic. But as I was saying, I try to carry the spirit of the holidays with me. What a day. From the moment it seems like I woke up, phone buzzing, you know, folks looking for information, and I'm always trying to help where I can. We have to be careful with that because you can help to a fault, folks. So, you know, and I have to especially be careful. It's somewhat in my nature, and I'm told in my sun sign and numerologically and, you know, all of these things. So, but overall, it's been good. It's been good because I've learned to accentuate the positive. From time to time, I play that. And in fact, I think I'm going to interlude with that in just a moment. Accentuate the positive. Folks, this evening, we have a very, 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 very special program. I have a colleague of mine, and many of our guests have become colleagues over the years, just from interacting and getting to meet them as interviewees. My guest tonight, though, is someone that, we go back some 20 years studying natural health and I don't know how many classes that we've taken together over the years. And so it's always a joy to have a friend and a colleague to join you in doing what I do, is this love fest that I do every week on Thursday evenings, and just uplifting and bringing insight and enlightenment to the listeners that are willing to partake. So this evening you're going to be especially treated as I sit on the virtual couch and have a dialogue with a friend and just talking about uplifting ourselves as we transition into another season. We also may be joined, I'm told, by additional colleague who is traveling overseas, and she said she was going to attempt to dial in tonight as well. So that would be a very special treat for us. But yeah, we're going to have an uncommon discourse this evening about being well, and not just on a physical level, but on a holistic level, you know, mind, body, and spirit, and all that. So that should be a joy. So, getting back to my day, you can probably hear the sirens in the background. What a world you know, it was Louis Armstrong that sang the song, "What a Wonderful World." Because, folks, we have to learn to understand throughout it all, whatever it is, ups and downs, left, right. You hear me talk about left wing, right wing, same bird. No, I'm not getting into politics tonight. I wouldn't dare try to go there with you. I think the world knows at this point that our dysfunctional government, you know, did their thing that they've been working on for the last 3 years, not taking into consideration the fallout, you know, and we're the victims of the fallout, of course. And as I said, I'm not going to give much time into that, but we'll do a program on that. I'm not even going to mention what it was that took place because everyone knows by now what happened yesterday politically. So on either side of that pendulum, I'm not going to fall prey by giving that any airtime because it certainly doesn't deserve any, clearly, because the pendulum is going to swing the other way, folks. Just know that, you know. And so I'm very careful in my years that I've come to enjoy and appreciate now before I jump on what they call bandwagons. I don't do that very easily. Not that I'm not cautious and not that I don't carefully find myself and cautiously making decisions. No, I'm not saying that. You know, it's like the difference between fear and caution. You know, fear has you sitting on the curb, frozen, unable to make a move. Caution has you look both ways. And see, what's happening, I believe, in this country, forget politics aside. I'm just talking about what we're being bombarded with on television and in our schools and in our businesses. I deal with it every day at work. I mean, I have some real losers, relatively speaking, figuratively speaking, at work. Now, fortunately, as is the case, most are good people. So if you notice, wherever you are, whatever your circumstances are, and you're dealing with some mess, you always have a counterbalance of good. Same thing. That's what I was referring to where I spend a significant of my time working with individuals to better their lives. A lot of nincompoops. But fortunately, the vast majority are very good folks. And it is the counterweight, the counterbalance that brings about the overall wellness, and we have to stay focused in that vein. So as we go through these holidays, what we want to do is I begin to, speaking of transition into my guest this evening, what we want to do as we peruse through the holidays is to be focused on this energy, this wonderful energy we call spirit, uplifting spirit. Now, let's be careful. Let's be discerning and not confusing an uplifting energy from an energy that is draining and distracting and distorting. And you can tell the difference. It touches your soul. It touches your heart. Be careful of the mind and emotions because it will deceive you. But what we want to do during this season of uplifting spirit is recognize and be aware We were talking last week about awareness. Everything is awareness. So we want to be aware of, so that we can germinate it within and carry it with us throughout the year. That's what it's all about, folks. And so, speaking of being aware and carrying throughout the year, I'm going to bring on a colleague of mine who is going to have an uncommon discourse about being well, being aware, and utilizing what's available on a natural basis. In order to survive and even excel during this coming winter season, a season of change, a season when many, on a physical and mental basis, feel a sense of stress that's different from the other seasons. Again, this evening, our special guest is Mr. Shelford Mitchell. And as I said, he is not just a guest. He's a colleague, a friend, and many times a mentor. And we've studied together, many years, I could say probably decades, natural and holistic approaches to wellness. So this evening is going to be a lot of our discourse as we try to give you some insight on, as we go through an environmentally challenging season. Now, you may say, well, I'm in Florida or I'm in Southern California and the weather's warm. But regardless of where you are, there's a shift that's taking place. There's a change. And so you must be able to weather that shift and that change. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that, not just on a physical level, but on a holistic level. So as we enter winter in our northern hemisphere, we're going to talk about doing it with insight, rising to the occasion, with required energy for health and wellness. So without further ado, I'm going to bring on my friend, colleague, and as I said, from time to time, mentor, Mr. Shelford Mitchell. Mr. Mitchell, are you in the studio? Are you there?
Good night, all, yes. To all the listeners. How are you all? I say, and how are you all, sir?
Yes. I was
I'm glad to be on once again. Yes, definitely. You were speaking earlier about tonight's
It's always a joy to have you on. I was speaking earlier about just about energy and just about day-to-day living and how each and every one of us, we all go through something, no matter what. And regardless of our income, or our race, our age, our gender, we all from time to time go through things, whether it's at home or at work or in the neighborhood. And – in order to best filter through those circumstances, we must be in balance, and that's the key. So, Shofar, you know, we've talked so many times over the decades, over the years, about health issues with clients. We've consulted one another when we've gotten into situations where we just kind of wanted an outside perspective. I know that I'll certainly reach out to you from time to time and say, hey, you know what, Shofar, I've got a situation here. I'm not sure. And then sometimes you'll reach out to me. You know, easily we can talk about, oh, these are different remedies for when the weather gets cold. But in this next half an hour, what I like to do is just kind of step back a little bit. This is the holiday season, a season of uplifting energy. So regardless of what you're being faced with, I want to encourage the listeners to not let anything get them down. In fact, there was a song, "Don't Let Nothing Get You Down." Because we have choices, folks. And believe me, I'm not pointing any fingers and sitting back on a cloud of bliss. Believe me, I have my challenges coming at me from all different perspectives, and it's not easy. And believe me, I'm sure from many perspectives, it's a challenge to handle. So we're gonna all kind of engage in this conversation and work through this together. Shofar, you ever had those challenging days?
As you said, we all do. Every day is, you know, it's a challenge. Literally every day. Minor challenge, major challenge.
How do you keep a positive attitude, Mr. Shofar Mitchell? How do you do it?
You know, several ways. Well, first we get almost optimistic, you know. I always think that tomorrow is a better day. And nothing stays the same forever, you know. It's as you said, it's a dynamic world. We just keep changing, and we have to learn how to adjust.
That's interesting. You said nothing stays the same forever. How true of a statement is that?
Yeah, no, it just changes. And with change, you learn. You learn how to cope once you accept change. Easier said than done, but it is. That's what it is. There are changes, and we have to accept it. As we spoke earlier, you know, the weather has changed, and we have to accept that. Or learn how to accept it, or work with it. That's nature. It's dynamic. One would ask, you know, is the glass half full or half empty? How do you see it when you look at it?
I remember
in my younger days, you know, I was the only one that saw the glass half full. You know, I was in what we call the Boy Scout. My parents put me in that, and we went away, and we had an exercise, and there was a glass that was half filled with water. You know, I actually wrote half full. And the leader said, oh, you're the only person that said half full. You saw the glass full. So always a positive attitude. Tomorrow is a better day. Learn to accept where you are and what you have and move on.
Shofar, in working. Go ahead, Shofar.
But that again has to do with confidence with self. And well, for me, you know, the creator, you know, my all and strong. So that's what it is, though.
Let me ask, Shofar. You talked about a positive attitude. Now, of course, we're always talking to individuals who are having health challenges. How do you approach attitude with regard to any clients that you have that you're working with? What role does the attitude play? I know, you know, we have calls. We have 1,000 protocols that we can utilize on a physical basis and, of course, on a mental and of course, an energetic basis. We won't get too deep into that tonight. But where does the what role does the mental attitude play when you're working with clients?
It plays an important role. I don't want to understate it, but it plays an important role. I can't remember exactly. I think Dr. Howard, he said something about, you know, for you to heal. I think he said something like 10% is you, 10% is me, the therapist. He says, and the other 80% is you. And so it's only 10% herb, 10% the helper, and the 80% is you. So it's your attitude towards whatever you're doing, meaning if you believe something will not work, there's a high probability that it will not, or it will not be as effective. You know, people might question that, but in our business, in our field, I think you understand, we believe that. A client to me one time said, I don't like my doctor. I don't like my doctor. She's going to have surgery in 2 days. I said, what? I said, well, you shouldn't have that surgery because you're already going in with a bad vibration that you don't like the doctor. You know, so things like that, we may not be able to identify that, you know, things did not work out the best. It wasn't the most positive attitude because sometimes we cannot identify that. But people who can identify that type of energy and vibration can see the weakness or probably it affects you more. That may be up for debate. But just being very sensitive to the thing. So attitude plays a lot in how you're, how successful you are or not successful, you know. It plays a big role, you know. So definitely you cannot ignore that, and I've seen it many times, you know.
Wow, you know, it comes to mind a researcher that I have. I've studied over the years, over the decades, Masaru Emoto. He's a Japanese researcher, and he is worldwide acclaimed. He did study after study on the power of intention. And his most famous, or I believe his most famous research came in working with crystalline beakers. And what Emoto did is he would take a beaker of water, and you talk about half full or half empty. And he would also take an identical beaker of water, and he would freeze it to the point where it would create crystals on the beakers. And a crystal is no different than a snowflake. A crystal has 6 sides. And no two are alike. And what Emoto began to do was to impose his power of intention on the beakers. I mean, you can go to Barnes & Noble today and pick up any book by Emoto and see the pictures and follow up on what I'm saying, the research. It's fascinating. And so he would, and of course, like a snowflake, there are no two alike. no two crystals are alike. That you know, as I said, if you have something in the freezer long enough, it'll be you'll see the frost on it. Well, that same frost, those at a microscopic level, they have six sides. Each one of those, they're not snowflakes, but they're crystals. And
interesting.
On the beaker, he would put masking tape on one, and it would say hope and love. And he would focus on hope and love. Then he would put that beaker in the freezer or flash freeze it. And on another, he would say hate and disgust. After flash freezing the two beakers, the beaker that had hope and love and his intent of those concepts and emotions, the crystals under a microscope were perfect. You'd have to see the pictures, and I have the books. The crystals are perfect, six-sided, things of beauty. Now, on this identical beaker, type of a beaker, that had the masking tape with hate and disgust, filth, if you looked under the microscope, the crystals were distorted. There weren't six-sided evenly. The peaks were cut off. Really fascinating. So the things that, you know, you and I have been talking about for, like I said, over a decade or a couple of decades in our studies and our training under, you know, remarkable minds. You know, I could mention names like Dr. Joe and some others that we've trained under. I know you've trained under some different masters than I, and I under some different than you. But the bottom line is what we've learned is the power of intent. So when I hear you talk about that, I can't underscore it and highlight it enough to our listeners. It makes a difference, the kind of attitude that you carry into any circumstance. So when you told that client that said, oh, I don't trust this doctor, but yet he was about to go under the knife of that same doctor, not a good thing.
No.
Yeah, and it's not to tell any of our listeners, don't go and have surgery if your doctor's telling you that. It's just staying to the facts that factually studies show, and his isn't the only study. I mean, these studies began 2 decades ago. I mean, you know, his research, his books go back to 2000.
Mm-hmm.
So since then, you've got Harvard and Yale and MIT that have been studying these concepts. So it's just the science is, how do we say it, Shelford? The science is catching up with the art.
Oh, definitely. Definitely it is.
The science is catching up with the art. And speaking of that, even from a natural perspective, you're seeing the commercials now. It's hard to turn on an hour-long program or more and not see some aspect of natural approaches to health, whether it be probiotics or omega-3s or what else are we seeing on television now that's being promoted by the allopathic community.
Omega-XL or whatever you don't want to call it, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever they want to call it. So, but you know, look, the world is going in that direction, and we are being bombarded by these. You know, it's more than a handful of studies, but they're becoming, if I may say, the gospel now, and we have to be careful in listening to some of these commercials. For the most part, yeah, they're correct. There's some truth to it. and there may be a lot of truth to it, but the conclusion of the commercial or what they are imparting to us or the holistic approach of these individuals' commercials about health is that's the part that's not true. Meaning that we have one product X, and you know it's a beautiful product. It works well. It covers everything we need to get it. We need to take this for the rest of our lives. You know, you need to take it, yeah. But it doesn't cover everything. You don't need to take it for the rest of your life. And when I say the rest of your life, well, you don't need to take it continuously. At least that's what I get from the program. You take it continuously. You stock up on it. You buy five, and we have it auto shipping to you because you can't afford to be without this. These are just selling points, you know, of the products, and we have to be careful of that. So if they're selling an oil, let's say flaxseed oil, there's so many different oils out there that you do not need flaxseed oil every day. You need a different oil with a different energy setting. So you may use fish oil, flaxseed oil, coconut oil, palm oil, whatever oil, combination of oils for the rest of your life. You would need oils for the rest of your life, but it's a combination. It's not just one product. And we have to be mindful, although, that these products are supplements. That's exactly what it is. It supplements the food or it supplements our diet. We've got to try our best to get these things from food. We've got to try our best.
Excellent.
That's when it works the best.
Yeah, when it's used complementary. Mm-hmm.
Yes,
absolutely. And I'm glad
but
you brought that up.
But the world today is forcing us to, the world today is forcing us to use these things, very extensively. We just got to do what we got to do. But realize that it's complementary.
Yes, it is. It is so. It's very true. Very absolutely true. I mean, it's not to say that there isn't any efficacy to the use of some of the natural products, but as you said, they would have you taking it medicinally for the rest of your life on a therapeutic basis, and I would agree with you. We have to be very, very careful. And the other thing is you have to alternate, as you said, the energy. The body will become accustomed to anything that it is consistently exposed to. You know, to some extent, you can get accustomed to poison, to some extent, before it begins to accumulate to an overwhelming extent. And, eventually will cause your demise. So, yeah, we have to be very careful and mindful. And there are individuals who have done the research who know about the contraindications. That's the other thing that you have to be careful with, because a lot of the natural products have medicinal properties. And so if you are indeed on some type of a medical regimen, you do have to be very careful engaging in some of those products. A simple one, diabetic products, another very simple one, high blood pressure products such as like a Coumadin. You have to be very careful with some natural products. That will also thin your blood and thin your blood significantly. And you have to be careful stopping a med and replacing it with a natural product. It could be very dangerous. I would never recommend that. I'm not trying to promote allopathic or traditional doctors over natural health professionals. Just for the sake of promoting doctors, I'm not trying to do that. I'm a natural health professional, as Mr. Mitchell is. But at the same time, we want to be responsible. I believe if you're able to utilize a natural approach over a medical product that is giving you the same benefit, that I would lean towards a natural product, not because I'm a natural health professional only. And I'm sure there's some that are saying, yeah, sure. but because,
but, you know, the question, the question,
the medicines
the question
are produced
is
in a laboratory.
Question also is that that you have to know how to use the natural product. You know, some people think that it's just take a pill or just pop one. The bottle says two twice a day. It may be four twice a day for you to get a medicinal or therapeutic dose. And that could be a quite challenge, and it also means that you got to take it for a week, a month, 2 months, 3 months, 3 days, for that matter, if you have the right product. So that's a challenge there for the non.
Hello.
Yes,
we lost you there for a moment, Mr. Mitchell.
Yes. My hand touched the mute button, I think. The last thing I was saying, that it's a challenge for the non-professional, you know, to take a supplement and they probably think it's not working, and all they had to do was take it for an additional week and they would see the results, you know. So be patient. That's all.
Yeah, that's true. A natural product is going to take longer to saturate the system and produce the results, for the most part, my experience over the 20 years, than an allopathic product. An allopathic product tends to get into your system a lot faster and have a more significant impact over a shorter period of time. And I'm not saying a better impact. I said a more significant impact. It is going to affect you a lot faster.
Proper choice of wood. Although there are some natural products that will work really fast, if it's the right product. That's the bigger catch there. If it's the right product, it can't work as fast there. But, you know. Yeah, now you can continue.
Yeah, so when you say the right product, that's another area of concern, because there's so many things over the counter. You can go into a health store, and many proprietors of health stores, and I'm not talking about Walgreens or Walmart or CVS, who now carry a gamut of products. You can go in and you can get garlic or flaxseed oil, it's omega-3, and, you know, because it is over-the-counter and it is relatively safe, it doesn't have to be prescribed, you still do have to be careful, because, you know, the bottle is going to say recommended 1-3 times per day or one per day, and that might be something that would be useful on a maintenance basis, because let's say it's a calcium tablet or capsule, or magnesium or some mineral. I'm just going to stay in the focus of minerals now. Well, the body does need minerals. And frankly, I myself believe minerals are as or actually more important than vitamins, myself. Vitamins are important. But if you can only have one or the other, which you really can't, you need both. But minerals are crucial to the balance and functioning of your body systems. So whether, as I said, it's magnesium or chromium or calcium or zinc, those are all minerals that you can get over the counter. But you do have to be careful taking too few or too many. And so your a health professional would be able to help you to discern what a reasonable amount would be given your circumstance. Is it just for maintenance? Is it because of an imbalance? I don't like to use the word disease, disorder. I prefer to say imbalance. Something is not in balance with you, and you need to give the body something to help it to come into balance so that it can function as it is designed to function. And it is important that you have a professional who is giving you some guidance as to how and what it is that you're using to bring the body systems in balance. And the approach that a natural professional of health will use often is through body systems. So they'll determine, is it the respiratory or the nervous system or the muscular system or the lymphatic system or any of a number of different body systems, skeletal system that we have. There are 11, by some standards 13, depending if you break out digestion. So, Shelford, when you're working with a client that approaches you with, something common, uh-huh, like diabetes, do you approach it? How do you approach it? I don't want to give you a leading question. Is it you say, okay, uh-huh, I'm aware of these particular things, and so take some of this, and this will help you. How do you, if you can give the listeners an idea of how a naturopath or how a natural practitioner would approach working with a client?
Let's say this is a new client. I don't know the person. I'll take a history of the person's, I would say the person's life or the person's well-being or how they live their life. A question could be, how do you respond to stress? Do you scream and bawl? Do you shout? Do you go sit quietly and just absorb it, hope it goes away tomorrow? Or you just let them have it? That can be significant. So it's a slew of questions, and then we may get to, what health problems you had throughout your life. Did you have surgeries? How often do you have a cold? Do you go to the bathroom often? Questions like that, clients who have been to or spend a significant amount of time, at the doctor, they would, want to give you a whole lot of detail about, if they had surgery, what it was. I mean, I've had clients come and tell me that, I have a mass, wherever the mass is. I have mostly mm-hmm. women clients, mass in my ovaries, a mass in my uterus. Oh, and this is 3 cm, this is 3 cm, it's a half a cm, quarter cm. It almost means nothing to me, or it means nothing to me. You have a mass, that's all I need to know. Because the size of the mass is more significant to a doctor, probably allopathic person, who wants to know, how far this has gone. I don't know, I'm not sure, but, the data is important to them. Size, you need to measure things in that sense. It's reproducible. But to me, a holistic person, you just say, look, I have a mass, I have a growth, I have the cold, scientists may want to know what virus causing it. We really don't care what virus causes it. We take the information and use it, but it's not important. It's just expertise in the body. So that's how I approach that.
Absolutely.
You said I was purchasing something from the store. You saw me standing there. You made me waste my time?
Absolutely. So, Mr. Mitchell, Shelford?
Oh, yes, I'm here. I'm listening to you. It's just a little bit of noise around here, so I didn't want that noise to go.
All right, well, we're live. It's live, folks. It's live radio. As I said, Shelford's traveling. You're approaching each client differently, even though they may come to you with the same thing and be the same age and the same weight, and the symptoms may be the same.
Correct. So we approach it, and, you know, the approach would be, you know, questions and then use our knowledge to try and figure out, you know, what's happening and make recommendations based on that. Go ahead, Al.
Well, I agree with you that you have to approach each client individually. And I always start with where their mindset is. First thing I want to know is what is going on in their life. Are they just having a joyous, blissful life? And as we said in the beginning, no life is perfect. But for the most part, they're just happy family and children, or if not children, they love their jobs, maybe workaholic, maybe, you know, work to a fault. But what's going on with their lives? Because invariably, every client that I can remember, whatever imbalance they had was related to their environment to some extent. Every single time, whether it was a relationship at home or work, or even if it was environmental, it related to how did you end up in that environment. I've seen EMFs, you know, related to cellular imbalances, electromagnetic frequencies, folks, you know, toxic fumes. You know, how did you end up there? Well, you know, it's the job that I was in, so do you love your job? Well, it invariably, so then you have to work on both, because we learned this, Shelford, we never treat a symptom. That's taboo.
That's true.
That's taboo with what we do, folks.
That's true.
We would never treat it. If you come and say you have a backache, we may look at your back last, depending on what factors we've determined. We may start with your shoulders. We may start with the top of your head.
Right.
We're always seeking what we call a primary. And so with that, if there's a significant aspect of emotion that's involved, I may want to first just have that conversation and delve there to try to bring some emotional balance. Because that's like pouring water in a cup that has a hole in it, ever so tiny. And so the first thing that I want to do is I want to know whether not just the physical state is, but where is the emotional state? And that's why I mentioned that study, and Mr. Shelford was talking about the individual that had a certain attitude. Your attitude plays a significant role on how far you're going to go, no matter what. Your attitude is going to play a role. So, Shelford, as we go into this environmentally, at least in the northern hemisphere, whether you're in Florida or California, I was speaking with an aunt in California, and everything is relative. I mean, I have relatives in Georgia. So you may say, well, that's okay. They're in warm weather. Well, guess what? It may not last as long, but in January, folks, and I've been there in January, you may say, Georgia, shoot, it's 90 degrees all year round. And even Florida.
No.
I mean, in these United States, it's a bit cooler. They're not getting 90-degree weather in January. Now, it's a nice place to go visit. You see people flying to Florida. And, Shelford, I know you know because, you know, you were very familiar with the southern hemisphere of this country and the Caribbean.
Where I come from in Trinidad, I mean, where I live, it gets really cool. I wouldn't use the word cold just to make a point.
Mm-hmm.
It gets really cool. You know, come December, January, it's pretty cool. I mean, I'm back home and I put on a sweater, especially where I live up on the hill. So there's a change.
So we're going through a transition. Everything is relative. It may not be the kind of transition that I would go through when I lived in Cleveland. But if you're in, let's say, North Carolina, yeah, it's a little bit warmer, but those folks who are in North Carolina, believe you me, when it comes to January, it's not the same as it is in August. So no matter where you are, it's relative, but there's a transition to be made, an environmental transition. And that also affects us emotionally. So I wanted to just have some of this discourse with Mr. Mitchell. For those who are just joining, we're on the phone with Mr. Shelford Mitchell, nutritionist, naturopath, holistic naturopath, let me say. And we're discussing approaches to health, especially natural holistic approaches, as we transition into winter with the environmental stresses that go along with that, as well as the mental stresses that go along with that. Because if you're chilled and you're frigid, you're not as relaxed, you're a little bit tense, the shoulders kind of get hunched up a little bit more over a longer period of time, the buttocks tend to be a little bit tighter. Whenever you have that kind of tension, tension leading to stress, and stress leads to imbalance. So that's why I was saying, folks, enjoy the spirit that we're in now and try to embrace and embody that spirit for 2020. For 2020, try to embrace that spirit that you feel. You know, it just seems like when you're in the stores, generally now, it just seems like there's a more upbeat kind of an energy. Even if you're not talking with someone, you just kind of you hear the holiday music. I won't, you know, I'll be politically correct because, you know, for me it's Christmas music, but some would say holiday music. And it just kind of lifts your spirits when you're talking about peace and joy and love and the divine one. Those kinds of things, we want to embed that and ingrain that, folks, in our fiber, in our cells, and carry that through the entire year. What I'm getting at is a critical mass. What I'm getting at is, for the listeners, that this is happening, folks. Whether we are going to embrace it now or later, or our offspring or their offspring embrace it, it's coming. We just talked about Emoto and the studies that are being done. People are becoming more and more aware. There are apps now where you can meditate. You can literally just get on an app, and meditate in the morning on a regular basis. So society is moving more towards a natural, holistic approach to wellness, folks. And I'm just encouraging everyone to get on board sooner than later because it's going to increase your peace, your inner joy, and your health physically and mentally. I'll tell you, physical impairment is tough. Mental impairment is just as tough. And by many standards, more difficult to cope with. So you'd have to be on one side of that fence to really appreciate the you'd have to be on both sides of that fence to really appreciate that dichotomy. Because there are those that say, well, you know, there are those that don't have the use of their arm or those who can't hear. But then there are those who they lose their ability to remember. Imagine that. There are those that would say, you know what, I would give up my ability to use my right arm if I could just remember. So the mental side is just as important, and we've got to nurture that mental side just as much. In fact, I would say more, because the physical can affect the mental, but I would dare say, and Shepherd, give me your input on this, that more so your mental can affect your physical than your physical can affect your mental, because your physical is going to affect your mental. Because if you're physically impaired, it's going to make you feel bad and that. But if you're mentally impaired, you could be well and literally begin to degrade your physical self. What's your thought on that, Mr. Mitchell?
I agree with you. The physical affects the mental. And what happens with the physical affecting the mental, it can go on for so long, and you being unaware until, you know, the physical becomes a serious condition. And then at that point, it becomes very hard to track the source of it. You know, you're going to the doctor looking for a physical solution to a mental problem. So that's a little harder, a little more challenging to track, to observe, because of our training. You know, we are trained purely deterministic, purely physical. We're just looking for physical and chemical symptoms or relationships to disease. But I must say that we are moving away from that now. The information is out there now, but still not read, you know, very acceptable. It's still not. There's very few people that are dealing with that, and those that are dealing with it are in the background. So it's not even, you know, it's not even projected, or it doesn't even dominate. So it becomes, you know, a much greater challenge to accept, to look for it, to work with it. And we are so dependent on machines these days that our minds are not even trained that way, or it's difficult to accept what our mind is telling us. You may think something, you may feel something, but you're not trained to, you know, or should I say acutely trained to accept that. So you dismiss it, and then it becomes not true. I don't know if I'm making myself clear here with respect to this, but
it's a training. Well, I understand.
It's a training. You train your mind. It's a training. You train your mind. You train yourself how to accept those things, the intangible. And the more trained you are, the more aware you become. That's one of the key things. The more you listen to yourself, and listen to yourself from, you know, in quiet times, the more you develop that awareness. And that's part of the energetic training, the spiritual training. But you got to be quiet. You got to calm the mind. You can't be trying to find a solution by making noise, if that makes sense. Becoming argumentative, then, you know, you lose that peace. And it's that peace that brings about that awareness. So I remember one of the great martial arts player, Bruce Lee. Right now, I can't remember how he came out of it, but in the movie, when he was trapped inside a room, You know, the door's closing them. You know how these movies are, trying to escape and the door's closing you. What did Bruce Lee do? Instead of, you know, I think the normal average person was out to cry, scream, ball, bang on the door, get me out of here. He just sat in the lotus position, which is he just crossed his leg and he sat there and he went into a meditative state. That's what he did, being aware. And I saw that and I'm like, wow. In adversity, he just sat down quietly and begins to meditate. And that meditation can change a lot of things. You know, almost no action. But yet, as I said, I can't remember. The movie is so long that I can't remember what the result was. But the fact that he sat there in that quiet state in great distress,
mm-hmm.
just sat quietly, calmed the mind down. That's
not a thing. Wow.
You know, what would I do?
What would I do?
That was a great point. Yeah, it's quite powerful. I mean, for those who were biblically inclined, I think there's a story in there or occurrence in there of Peter when he was put in jail. All he did was pray. And, you know, for those who were inclined to that, you know, praying is a form of meditation or meditation is a form of praying. I think my higher people would say meditation is a form of praying. They usually don't go the other way around. Not that it's not true, but when you meditate, you pray. You know, that quiet moment.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and that story in the Bible, yeah, and he eventually escaped. You know, whether he believes the Bible or not, you know, the chains were removed from him because he prayed. The people prayed for him. So in that quiet time, you know, you would find strength. But, you know, great strength is to calm the mind down. That gives you great strength. That gives you peace. That allows you to handle different situations or difficult situations.
Mm-hmm.
Not everything we are going to change. You have to deal with the difficult situation. Tomorrow, aunt of mine always said, tomorrow is a better day. You know, time would pass all wounds, and you reflect and say, and for the older folks, I think, well, more experienced folks, you know, I would think, you know, they would understand what I just said. Sometimes you reflect and say, oh, why did I react to a situation like that? Today it means nothing. But at that moment, you felt you had to explode. But again, it's all about attitude and being healthy, not to be stressful. And that's where you become healthy by not being stressful. And stress is going to come, but you got to deal with it. And in dealing with it in the most positive ways where you get the greatest benefit of health, or where it will not affect you adversely. So,
yeah, I agree with you on that as well. I agree with you. When you say as much as we can reduce stress is as much as we can increase the probability of recovering from any health imbalance. As much as we can reduce stress, as much as the probability that we can reduce any imbalance. So that's very critical. You know, this time of year, we have today is the 19th, which mm-hmm. gives us 10 days before we're into a new year. It gives us 10 days. Well, actually, it gives us a little more than 10 days. My math is off some. But
that's 29, no, 12 days, I guess, about it.
12 days. So we're in the 12 days of Christmas, technically, right? On the 12th day of Christmas, my true love gave to me. Folks, we're in the 12 days of Christmas. What wonderful bliss we have to be able to reflect on this and have a countdown. And with each day, I would leave you with, let's be aware. Let's be aware of the joy that we have. Regardless of what it is, regardless of what it is, each of us have something right now that we would rather not have to deal with. I would dare say everyone. And I say everyone because there are those who say, I don't have anything, and they just don't know what it is. They don't realize it. It can be a relationship with one of their children or a relative, and they just don't care. So they don't know. But everyone has something that we need to improve. But let's be grateful for what we have, folks. Let's be aware. Let's embrace this holiday spirit, regardless of religion. Let's embrace the holiday spirit, the spirit of upliftness, of joy, of feeling good. Just feeling good. Not on a physical level. I'm not referring to that at this point. I'm talking about on a mental, on a even more so on a spiritual level. Just feeling good. In light of everything going on with all the wars and the political up and mess that's going on, let's just remove ourselves on a spiritual level. See, on a mental level, I don't encourage that necessarily with this particular exercise, and certainly not on a physical level. You don't want to hermit yourself and lock yourself in. But on a spiritual level, remove yourself from the mess. That's the beautiful thing about spirit. You can't really do that on a mental level. You got to still go and be around people that you don't necessarily want to be around. Physically, you're going to feel the pain significantly, perhaps. But on a spiritual level, you can literally remove yourself. And as you begin to remove yourself on a spiritual level, it affects you mentally in a positive way. And as you're affected mentally in a positive way, the physicality begins to change, not just on a personal level in terms of physical ailments, but your physical environment. I'm practicing this myself right now on a self-study. I've done so many health support initiatives with remarkable minds, doctors of natural health and wellness, but this is one I'm practicing in order to bring about a more positive lifestyle and change. Not that I'm living a terrible one, but we will always want to improve, folks, because we have journeys. Each and every one of us have a special gift. My friend Shelford Mitchell here, I can tell you, folks, gifted in so many ways. We had a conversation earlier today, and I was reminded of how I've always admired him in his study of natural health as we begin to talk about different health initiatives. So every one of us have a gift, but even the gift that I'm aware of, that I do have and Shelfer's aware of, we can always expound on that and expand on that. And I'm promoting that each and every one of us do that in the coming year. Because as I like to quote, and I'll do this now, we only have one more program after tonight, 2019. So I want to quote, and I'll open up next year with this quote as I'm going to close 2019 with this quote. It's a Martin Luther King quote, and those of you who have listened with me for the last 10 years know it. In a real sense, all life is interrelated. All men are caught in an inescapable network of mutuality, tied in a single garment of destiny. I just want to repeat that. All men and women are caught in an inescapable network of mutuality, tied in a single garment of destiny. A network of mutuality, regardless of your age and gender and income and religious affiliation, we're all tied together in this society, folks. That's why I said I'm not getting into this political fray. I'm not buying into it. The political fray I'm getting into is that of Daryl Clark. And I know what I'm standing for and what I'm desiring to do and what my moral aspirations are, and I'm going to stay with that path. Martin Luther King said, whatever affects me directly affects all indirectly. I can never be what I ought to be until you are what you ought to be, and you can never be what you ought to be until I am what I ought to be. It's called the interrelated structure of reality. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Folks, I leave that with you as for those of you celebrating Christmas and Hanukkah and Kwanzaa and whatever other particular traditions that you might practice during this special time of the year. I just encourage you to think in terms of anything that you see around you is tied to you, good or bad. And this is something that I've been struggling with, but I'm going to continue working at it to understand that I'm a part of the whole. And the whole does not necessarily have all good things in it. I'm going to leave you with that, folks. Until next week, we have another program on Thursday. If there's anyone there that would like to share any thoughts that they have, you can certainly press that 1 on the dial now if you have a question for Mr. Mitchell or myself from a natural health perspective or anything else that you'd like to inquire. Press 1 on the dial now, and we'd be more than happy in these last few moments to engage in that or comment that you may have. And until then, if there is someone that's considering it, Mr. Mitchell, would you like to close before we end our program with any positive just a thought for our listeners?
This is, as you said earlier on, we come to the end of the year, and I trust that next year would be a better year than last year and the year before. And everyone go forward in wholeness, in unity, in the word that's coming to mind, in quantumness. I don't want to, go out on a limb, but again, just being whole and understanding self and understanding, some of the things I said earlier on, which is take time out for yourself, be quiet. You have a situation. Take time to make the decision. Tomorrow would be another day, and what may appear to be extremely important today, if you give it some time, you realize that it's not that important and you may be able to make a better decision. But take a moment to meditate. As I said earlier on, meditation is prayer. Prayer is meditation, depending on, where you're coming from. But if you want to pray, you take a moment to pray. If you want to meditate, you take a moment to meditate. And just give yourself time to absorb whatever is happening around you. And in doing so, sometimes you would make a decision on the spot. Or you may take a longer time to make that decision. But generally, if you take your time to make a decision, it would be the better decision, generally speaking. And we have to remember, history only tells what happened, not what may have happened. So if you think you made a mistake, there's no way for you to be sure that it was a mistake. Because you may say, I'm just going to use an example. And this is a real example, but I'm not going to call, time and place, is that, a particular guy got a job. He got a job because of influence. And because of that influence, he was in a certain place at a certain time, and he lost his life. But so I'm saying, if that influence was not there, he would not have had that job, and he would not have been there. But again, history only tells what happened, not what may have happened. So take our time as we go forward into this new year. Take time off to meditate. Take time off to pray. And as we spoke earlier on, Darrell, I know we did not check this, is that this season and this weather is not very uplifting. It's not very energetic. It's a little more relaxed. It's a little more drawn back. It's a little more depressing. So we work with the season, and we're going to come out, you know, in a more energetic state. But life is a circle. So now it's the downtime. In just not downtime in your life, but downtime in your energy. You have to try a little harder to get up in the morning. As I said, we were talking about this with some people. We talked about food earlier on, eating warmer foods would help us to be more energized. So the things like, a little bit of ginger, those who eat meat, the lamb is quite warming as a food, cinnamon is warming as a food. Eat warm food and not a whole lot of cold food, to be aware. And for some people, they may need to take a little bit of St. John's wort to help them through this time, for some people. But do things that are energizing or feed the body with energy, positive thoughts, positive vibration. So this is my, I would say, prayer as we go forward into the new year.
We appreciate that.
Thank you,
Mr. Mitchell. Thank you so much. Listeners, I encourage you to let your relatives and loved ones know what we have discussed this evening. Go to the archives. You can do so by simply getting on your computer and typing in blogtalkradio.com/Renford. That's blogtalkradio.com/, that's the slash that's underneath the question mark on your keyboard, /Renford, R-E-N-F-O-R-D. And when you click on that link, folks, it's going to take you into the Radio by Renford network of radio programs, and you will see all of my programs for the last several years, going back to Dick Gregory and Dr. Joy DeGruy and some of the others that have been on the program with us over the years. You have an opportunity to hear Mr. Shelford Mitchell's programs when he has been on in months and years past. So it's all there. You got some time off. Go into the archives these upcoming holidays and listen to some of your favorite programs, folks. I encourage you to do that. Let your family know. Everything is listed by topic and by guest. And we'll look forward to next week for our final program of the year. And Mr. Mitchell will be joining us in the weeks and months ahead on a regular basis. We've had discussion. We've got great feedback that you want to hear more. And so tonight we didn't really delve deep, as Mr. Mitchell said, into some of the specific remedies, but we'll have time for that. This was more high-level treat and not digging too deep or wading too deep. But in this time of transition, just wanted you to have something a little more gentle to encompass and embrace as you go into the new year. But we'll be back, and we will be back soon. Shelford, my buddy, I appreciate it. My blessings and peace with joy to you and the family and all your loved ones in this year. For you and yours, let it be the best one that you've had yet. That's my prayer and hope for you, buddy.
Thank you. Peace and blessings.
All right.
All the listeners, all right. May you have a good end of the year and a good new year, I would say.
All right. Well, that's it, folks. Until next week, and I'm going to transition with one of my favorite holiday tunes from my folks back in Ohio, the Ohio Players, singing one of my favorites, Happy Holidays. Shout out to all the family, all the listeners around the country, from East Coast to West Coast to North Coast to South Coast, and all around beyond the borders. Our folks up in Canada, we care about you. Our folks in the Caribbean, we care about you and love you as well. Everyone be at peace. Until next time, have happy holidays.
Of holidays.
Yeah, I have seen a lot. But and then when I got into the hills, that's the thing that got me, right in central PA. Gosh, whew, that wasn't no joke. But, yeah, I would love to be able to come out, you know, but we're going to catch it when it starts to warm up. And it looks like this reunion may be coming into fruition. You know, I saw the little text that Cynthia put out. I can't remember the date, but she had a date on there. So that's good. That's a good thing. You know?
Iris? Iris? Iris, are you there? Hello? Iris.